Today we have Stephen Gangloff, who is a first-year resident in neurology at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, where he has also served on the Graduate Medical Education Planning Committee. And besides being a resident, he also has his hands in multiple entrepreneurial ventures, including Dehydrate to Store, which is an educational website that teaches people how to dehydrate food for long-term storage. That's DehydrateToStore.com. Dehydrate2store.com. So you guys can check that out. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about neurology. The first thing I'd like to ask you is, why be a neurologist?
I think it's a really hard question for any medical student to figure out during their time. So for me, starting med school, I had no idea really what I wanted to do in terms of specialty. But I immediately fell in love with the science of neurology when I took the course. It was my favorite thing to learn about, my favorite class. I love the physiology and the types of illnesses that are treated. So I started shadowing early on in medical school and then eventually did my rotation early in my third year. And just the people I worked with, the types of patients that we treat, they were the most moving to me and the most touching. And I felt that I could really do a good job in this field. And it's also a field that has so much left to learn and so much to grow. You know, there's a lot of research opportunities and ability to grow in the field so much. So that's another thing that really drew me to it.
And I'm sure people have asked you, neurology has this, I think, surrounding kind of evaluation from outsiders in medicine that you guys are excellent diagnosticians, but you can't actually treat diseases. That is a very, you know, very oversimplified view of it. But how would you meet that challenge or response?
So yeah, I definitely think that that's a interpretation by a lot of people for neurology. And actually, before I knew much about the field, that's what I thought too. My mind has changed a lot in that regard. So a lot of times people would say that, you know, there's nothing you can do. But I feel like in medicine, there's never really a point where there's nothing you can do. You can always provide, even if there's not a lot in regards to treatment options, there are things you can provide in terms of comfort to families and rehabilitation and things like that. And so I think even in the most grave of situations, there's always a potential to provide care to patients and their families. And a lot of neurologic illnesses, as you said, are difficult to treat and can have grave prognoses. However, there's also a lot of illnesses in neurology that we can treat really well. And the field is growing in our ability to treat illness and our breadth of medications and therapies is really growing. So I think we've come a long way in stroke, multiple sclerosis, a lot of illnesses.
And did you consider any other specialty choices when you were a medical student?
I feel like I considered everything, at least for a period of time. As I mentioned, I when I started, I really had no idea what specific field I wanted to go into. So I felt like I was always jumping around. One week I wanted to be a cardiologist and the next I wanted to be an emergency medicine doctor. And it was a long process of 3 years kind of trying out different things and determining what I liked and didn't like in different specialties. So at some point I considered most fields. Up until the end, I was most interested in neurology, but I also considered things similar to neurology like ophthalmology or even radiology with a focus on neurology.
And what ultimately swayed you?
So I feel like just looking back on my experience in medical school, the courses I took in neurology and the rotations were my favorite and the most rewarding. And I knew I wanted to be a physician who saw patients primarily and spent a lot of time with patients. And I felt like the combination of loving the science and interacting with patients on that level made neurology ideal for me.
What does it take to be a neurology resident? How do you make yourself stand out as an applicant to this specialty?
Neurology is a very cerebral field. No pun intended, yes. So I think for any specialty, there's important things, you know, being a strong student and doing well on your board exams and things. But I think for neurology in particular, showing that you have a lot of interest in the field and enthusiasm towards the field is really important because it requires that significant amount of thought and cerebral side to it. So another thing that's helpful to neurology in particular is doing research in the field or at least showing that you've had an interest in the field of research. Now, it's not necessary in order to master neurology to complete a lot of research or publish a lot of papers, but it certainly helps in that it shows your enthusiasm toward the idea of scientific expansion. I think research helps, being a well-rounded applicant, having good stories about patients you've interacted with. If you have some ability to show your humanistic side in medicine, such as being a part of old humanism or some other venues such as that, I think that helps as well.
If you had to actually choose the top three aspects of a residency application, what would you pick as the three top ones for neurology?
I think letters of recommendation are very important once you get your interviews to places. And I think that that plays a large role because it shows really a side of you that you can't get anywhere else in the application, such as your clinical abilities. And that's really important with patients, especially, I think, in neurology. So I'd say letters of recommendation are very important. Your board scores are very important. I think that's unfortunately part of any residency application. So board scores are up there. And I think research puts a nice icing on top of the cake, too. So I would consider that one of the important ones as well.
All right. Let's say you have a third-year medical student, end of third year. They're taking a required neurology clerkship for 4 weeks or something like that. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, man, this is the specialty I've been missing. I want to do neurology. How would you help them decide or navigate the decision between, say, two specialties? Maybe they like neurology just as much as they like ophthalmology or internal medicine.
It's really important to kind of take a step back and just evaluate yourself first before deciding on what specialty to do. So think about the way you are, the way you think, and the way you want to live as a career, because being a physician is obviously it's a long road to become a physician, and then being a physician is not easy either. So you want to be in a field that you truly enjoy. So in my opinion, you should put aside things like how much money are you making or what's the status of that field, and more concern about what types of things make you happy in your career or do you think would make you happy in your career. For instance, me, I knew that I wanted to be able to provide care to individuals who really need it and who are at hard times in their life. I wanted to be able to do a clinical setting, but also have the opportunity to work in a hospital setting. I think you have to be able to really step back and look at yourself. Do I enjoy doing procedures for most of my day, or do I prefer prescribing medications, understanding physiology and doing research or things like that, or what things, you know, make you as a physician? And once you know yourself, then you can make the decision of what specialty to go into, I think.
So if a student's whittled it down to neurology and they've decided they're going to apply to a neurology residency, how do you choose which programs to rank?
That's something I actually had a difficult time with at first, because I feel like in medical school, the two most important decisions you make are, what field of medicine do I go into and where am I going to do residency? Those are both huge decisions, and they obviously impact the rest of your career and your life. And I felt like I spent so much time deciding on which field of medicine to go into. When I finally made that decision and I said, this is what I'm going to do, and I was ready, then I had to, on the ERES application, I had this huge list of schools all over the country, and then I suddenly had to decide, oh, wait a minute, where am I supposed to practice? Am I going to move far away, be in a different state? So I think that it's a huge decision. And again, you have to kind of think about things that you value and then put that in perspective with what you want from a program. So for me, it was important to, my family all lives in the Northeast from Buffalo, New York. I wanted to be close to home. So I kind of narrowed it down to a geographic region, but still I was pretty lost. So what I did at that point, that's kind of when I found the Residency Navigator application from Doximity. And I use that as a huge tool in my whole process, not only deciding my original application list, but then also coming down to it, narrowing my choices and making my rank list. So the thing that I found that was great about that is I could narrow it down by geographic location in the Northeast, and then it would give me all the programs, and then it uses a lot of data to organize these and list these programs. And then when you select on each one, you get a lot more information inside. And the thing about that is it saves a lot of time as opposed to searching every individual website, trying to tabulate everything together in an Excel spreadsheet and understand the programs. And for me, it helped me think of a lot of places I wouldn't have actually considered, because they popped up on the list. And I said, oh, I never thought about applying to this program here in New York City or this program here in Pennsylvania. So it opened my eyes to programs that are really great that I wouldn't have considered. And then that helped me make my initial application list. And then once I had that, I could dive more into the programs and look at some of the great data it provides you. Is when you click on, let's say, University of Alabama or something, it'll tell you the residents who have graduated from there, ultimately where they went to other programs in the country, what subspecialties they went into, which really helps. And there's a nice pie chart that shows, you know, maybe 80%, 90% of people from this program went into stroke neurology as a subspecialty, and 10% went into sleep or something. That says a lot about the program. It says they're pushing out a lot of stroke neurologists, can speak to the strength of the stroke program there. So that was really helpful to me too. So just all the data and parameters that come up when you look into each of these programs really helped me to get a bird's eye view of everything.
And that's residency.doximity.com for the Residency Navigator tool. Just a reminder that that's the URL that you can go to and check out to get a number of interesting metrics to help you make the decision on how to match smarter. Any other advice or tidbits of information you want to provide?
Sure. I think one thing that's kind of important for the application and interview process, definitely make sure you get your applications and things squared away pretty early on. You don't want to submit your applications late. As soon as it opens that you can submit, try to do it that day. You'll actually find that ERS likes to crash. So everyone tries to submit at the same time and it pretty much crashes reliably every year. But try to do it, you know, the day it opens. So the application opens around June, and then so that's when you can start filling out things. And then the actual submission date is somewhere in like September where you can finally submit. Do it as early as you can, and then you'll find out that you start getting interview requests pretty soon after that. And then I think from that point, once you get the interview invite, just keep in mind that you got it for a reason. That program likes you, so you've made it past the first step. The next step is the interview process, and that's where I think it should actually become less stressful for you. I think a lot of people get more stressed with the interview process, but I think at that point, once you get that interview, it shows that you've meet whatever parameters they need to be a qualified applicant to their program. And now you should try to relax and focus more on being yourself. And that will help you really determine what program is most right for you. When you go to the interview and you can relax, you can be yourself, meet the residents, meet the faculty. That not only makes you look like a stronger applicant because you're confident and able to carry on a conversation and speak freely to these people, but also, it will help you, do a better job and with the interview process itself. So, and then you'll determine which programs are best for you if you're you know, being yourself and you really enjoy your time at any particular place. So,
yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. Good luck in the rest of residency. And in the show notes, I will put a link to Stephen Gangloff's Doximity profile so you can connect with him. And don't forget to use the Residency Navigator tool.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And thanks for the call and for reaching out to do this. It was a lot of fun.
The music for today's show is thanks to The World is a Beautiful Place and I Am No Longer Afraid to Die. The song is I Can Be Afraid of Anything off Harmlessness. You can follow them on Twitter at TWIABP. That's The World is a Beautiful Place. Or check out their website, theworldisabeautifulplace.com. Thanks, guys, for letting us use the tune, and keep making great music.
Inside the Boards is in no way affiliated with the United States Medical Licensing Examination, Comprehensive Osteopathic Medical License Examination, National Board of Medical Examiners, the National Council of State Boards of Nursing, National Board of Osteopathic Medical Examiners, or any other licensing or examination body. All exam names and other trademarks are the property of the respective trademark owners. Content discussed during the program is the property of Inside the Boards or the attributed trademark owner and may not be reproduced without permission from the appropriate entity. Inside the Boards fully adheres to the respective policies on irregular behavior outlined by the aforementioned credentialing bodies.